Loveline starts now.
Hey, everybody. Dr. Drew here. It's Loveline. Tonight, joining us, Alicia Cuthbert.
Hello.
Thank you, Alicia, for coming back.
Thanks for having me
Command performance. It's Kim Bauer,
for those of you
who know her from 24, Jack Bauer's art. Tell us the story. You're right. Tell us that. Look, is Anderson here tonight? No. You guys should have that. Can't you drop in the clock sounds from 24? Somebody's got to have that. Nicole has it.
Oh.
What good is that? Can you run? Seriously, go see if you can get it. We'll be fine. tell the story, if you would, briefly about what your friend encountered at a doctor's office. Recently. That was very funny.
It's crazy what people will assume or think. And I went in regular checkup, and I was at the doctor's office.
You were dizzy.
Let's be fair.
Tom Green got you loaded on an airplane. You're just telling me.
Shh, don't tell him that. No. I was feeling really dizzy, and I couldn't figure out what the hell was wrong with me. So I went into the doctor. I'm waiting in the waiting room, and my girlfriend's with me. With support. And I go in, and she's waiting.
See, now immediately people go gynecologist. You were not there for that. You were there for...
No, dizziness.
It was dizziness.
Yeah. Actually, it ended up being a sinus infection.
Yeah, perfect.
And I was feeling
too much
dizzy.
Airplanes.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I go in, and I'm doing the checkup thing, and my girlfriend's waiting in the waiting room. And the girl next to her, who was like a pharmaceutical rep, looks over at her and goes... Can you believe that she fights terrorism daily? And I didn't know until I came out.
And
Lindsay's like, oh my God, you're not going to believe what this woman just said to me and what she really believes.
It was like she doesn't fight every day. Every day.
Only some days.
That's very funny.
13 hours a day.
Now, Alicia, you're Canadian.
Yep.
What part of Canada?
I was born in Calgary, Alberta. And then,
because Cuthbert is a very British name, right?
I think it's Scottish.
Yes, it's very like aristocratic almost sounding, right?
Yeah, it's a little...
It should be on the cover of like...
Anna Green Gables-ish.
Yes, or you know how they have in Scotland, they have those plaid tins of shortbreads? It should be Cuthbert shortbreads, right? You right? Right?
Yeah, totally. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's very proper. And, and my mom is Irish, actually, so that's weird. I got a lot of that going on, but anyway, yeah.
How'd you end up down here?
For work, I guess. I just sort of was in Canada and working and thought, why not try and be an actress in L.A. and hopefully work with some bigger directors and bigger actors.
Were you acting up there?
Yeah, since I was 10. So I had been doing a lot of stuff up there. I did 3 TV shows there and did a slew of Canadian films. And
as a child?
Yeah, between 10 and I want to say 18, because 18 is when I left.
Was this something you wanted to do or sort of motivated by mom? Or
no, actually, it was all me.
Huh.
My mom and dad actually were really skeptical for my whole... Growing up, it sort of was like, my sister plays soccer, my brother's into hockey, and Alicia likes to act.
Really?
Yeah, and they didn't really see it as a serious career or a choice that I wanted to make. And finally, like, towards, like, becoming 18, was like, guys, I really want to move to L.A. And they were like, you're crazy. There's no way. And then after months and months of trying to convince them, we worked it out.
Do your parents both work?
No, my mom's been a stay-at-home mom since I was born.
And your dad?
And my father works in the car business, actually. Owns a company that specializes in fiberglass. And
I see the connection there to acting. Perfect. Got it. Yeah.
Actually, no one in my family's in the arts or acting or anything close to it, actually.
And now you live down here.
And now I live here.
Very interesting. All right. And by the way, The Girl Next Door, that's out on DVD right now.
Yeah.
That was the last time we saw you, was promoting that.
I know.
That
I was promoting that. House of Wax is on DVD, too.
Speaking of House of Wax, that'll take a... We're going to start with the softballs. I'm kind to some of our guest hosts. Emily, what's going on? You're 15.
I was wondering how it was to work on House of Wax. What was it like?
We shot House of Wax in Australia for 3.5 months, so I got to fly 15 hours to shoot this movie and spend some time there, and it's like a 2-day time difference, so it really felt like I was away and just focused on the movie. And obviously I was working with Paris Hilton and Chad Michael Murray and Jared Padalecki, all these like young, hot actors, and we were just having a blast. I went in, shot the day, and then come back and have a good time with the cast.
Where was this again now?
Australia.
Australia.
Yeah, the Gold Coast.
Uh-huh.
Good people down there.
Nobody parties there. I'm just adding the score up, Alicia. Irish descent, getting loaded with Tom Green.
I
getting
can
loaded
drink.
In Australia. Just saying.
I can drink.
Okay. Is that it, Emily?
I was actually wondering, actually, since you mentioned it, what was it like working with Jared Padalecki? Because I'm a huge fan of you. Like, I really think you're a great actress.
Oh, thanks.
I also like Jared Padalecki, and I was wondering
why. I can
like
understand why. Yeah, he's a hot, hot man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, you know what, he's from Texas, he's a regular guy, and, you know, he's...
Believe it or not, I worked with Jared.
When did you work with Jared?
I played the Olsen twins' dad in
New York Minute. He had just finished that.
And Jared was, and I spent a lot of time with Jared.
Isn't he a nice guy?
Very nice. He's kind of a big, goofy guy.
Big, tall, yeah. He's like 6'6".
Yeah, but he's not...
Compared to me, I mean, I'm a not, midget next to him.
He's like the opposite of serious.
He is. And you know what? I was trying to find a nice way to say, like, I don't think he takes the acting thing, like...
Seriously.
No. I think he just has a hell of a good time doing it. Yes. And he happens to be really attractive.
He's not a professional. He's just sort of this big, goofy
guy. He shows up.
Guy. Very nice guy.
He shows up. He does his thing, and he's fun to watch. Yeah. He was great. Really great.
Said it, Emily?
That's about it. I really am a huge fan of you. And House of Wax was an awesome movie, and I actually have it on DVD, and
awesome.
I really like it.
Did you see all the special features or some funny bloopers and things?
Yeah, I did. I saw them. It was awesome. And I really did like the movie. And, you know, good luck on acting and everything else because you're a great actress. And
oh, thank you so much.
Hi, Emily. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
That was awesome.
Okay. This now is Brian, 24. We're going to get into some more Loveline-esque kinds of call here. Brian, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Drew? Long-time listener. I was seeing this girl about 6 months ago. And did a stupid thing, had sex with her without a condom.
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
It happens.
Anyway, I went to this clinic nearby. He tested me, said it was I had some discharge and painful urination. Anyway,
oh, boy. There you go. UTI. No. No way that's a UTI. That's a urethritis.
that's what he told me.
He told you it was a UTI?
Yeah. And he gave me
I don't think so.
He gave me a shot in the arm and some pills to take. It was either naproxen or something. Anyway.
Weird.
My symptoms are coming back, shot. And I'm wondering if there's any way that the tests were false. Or
what would the shot be from? Because if you have a UTI, I mean,
UTI
pain medication and some...
And an antibiotic.
Right.
UTIs are so easily treatable now. They're generally with bacteria that are extremely responsive to antibiotics. You can even treat a UTI in one oral pill, but you might take it for 3 days, but that's about it, unless you had a prostate infection. But the shot is usually reserved for gonorrhea. And so what was the shot all about?
That's what I was wondering.
All right, Brian, here's how I would approach that. Any male with a discharge with painful urination that's had unprotected sexual encounter is an STD until proven otherwise. The possibility of a bladder or urinary tract infection is really pretty slim, and you'd cover that anyway. That would get caught. I mean, that would be wiped out by the antibiotics you use to treat the gonorrhea anyway. So usually you get a shot of something called Rocephin, and a pill, rather it's actually a liquid now you drink, called azithromycin, covers chlamydia, covers non-gonococcal urethritis, covers gonorrhea, and that's it. You're done, and that would have taken care of it. So I'd go back, definitely. Let's go to Albert 22.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering if there's really a pill that can help you grow taller, even if you're
I'd like to take it.
Alicia's going to go take it now. She needs a couple extra inches, and... It's funny that, I mean, I'm confused, people. It's not, we don't live in a time of like Houdini. It's like magically we can wave a wand over you and overcome the laws of nature. Albert, yeah. Come on, you're 22, you grow into 21.
Could you 21. Get a leg extension? You know, no. I saw that in a movie, Gattaca, where they chopped the guy's calves. And
yeah, I saw it in South Park, too. It turned him into a basketball player. This is a Janelle, 21.
So you don't believe in the movies.
Janelle.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
The movies must be what's poisoning people's minds.
Yeah, exactly.
People believe that.
Look what I'm doing. I'm out there.
I kind of weirded out by that. The fact that people can somehow think that the laws of nature just don't really apply. It's just biology, all that stuff. That's just just one way of looking at things. We're going to overcome all that. Janelle, what's up?
Okay. Well, my boyfriend and I had a question because about a month ago, we stopped drinking. We used to drink pretty much almost every night. We're 21. And we stopped smoking cigarettes. We were both cigarette smokers. And now it seems we can't stop having sex. Like, we do it probably two or three times every day. Is that, do you think?
And somehow that's the people that are truly addicted will use other means to try to satisfy those drives associated with the drugs they've given up. So you'll oftentimes see people that say are giving up opiates go steal things to get thrill involved. Like Winona Ryder, that was a typical behavior of somebody trying not to do opiates. Typical.
Got it.
And people often will act out sexually or create drama in their relationships or just steal things they don't need just to kind of create that arousal that the drug is no longer creating for them. So, Janelle, there may be some of that here, but it's, you know, so that's okay.
Better replacing one bad habit for another.
Well, this isn't exactly a bad habit.
No.
This is
good habit.
Yeah, as bad habits go, it's amongst the best.
Is that
but
normal?
No, I wouldn't put it under normal, but you're using words that are very loaded. I think that maybe you guys do have alcoholism and it's sort of getting going here, and you're trying to control it by means we call white knuckling. You're trying to just will yourself into not using the drug. Alcohol and cigarettes, that is, and instead you're substituting with someone else, and that's sort of typical of what people do.
Maybe they're staying at home a lot, too, because now that they're not partying as much, they're together.
Yeah. As bad habits go, they've chosen one that's amongst the best. This is Nicholas, 22.
Oh, yeah, long-time listener, first-time caller, Dr.
Thanks, Nicholas.
Great show.
Appreciate it. What's up? You're on with Alicia Cuthbert. Got to keep reminding people who's here.
Actually, the question's for you, Alicia.
Oh, okay.
What kind of research did you do for your character as a porn star in Girl Next Door?
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I believe it or not, I mean, I did a bit of research. I felt like I needed to talk to some of the girls, and we went through...
Who'd you find? Where'd you get them?
Through Wicked.
Wicked set you up with some of their performance.
Yeah, they set me up with some of their adult film stars, as they like to be called. And, with speaking to the girls, they all seemed very happy, very nice.
And you believe that BS?
But to me, it helped me because I realized...
You should have come to see me. I'll let you see them when they're in the hospital a few months later real stuff cracks open.
But exactly. But the thing is, they have that really great exterior where it's like they're strong and you seem like, oh, okay, they've got their...
BS.
But deep down inside, they're dealing with a lot of stuff.
Oh my.
So in the film, I wanted that to show. I wanted Danielle to be a strong character, but there had to be a moment in the movie where she broke down, and that was important. So yeah, I did a bit of research, read a lot of bios.
Did you read Jenna Jameson's book, All the Hell She Went Through?
Jenna Jameson.
Yeah, no, we tried to get her in the movie, actually, and she wanted a bigger role. Actually, she wanted mine, so
I'm not. Yeah.
She didn't end up doing it.
But did you read her book?
I haven't read her book. How is the book?
It's good. It really is, you know, as usual, people that have certain kinds of pathology, when they try to interpret and comment what their experiences are, it's all distorted. But all the experiences are there that show you that it's a really, really rough life she's had.
Wow.
Opiate addiction, abuse.
A lot of these, most of these girls are
trauma survivors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go, Nicholas. Is that it?
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, buddy. And the funny thing is that they feel like somehow by saying that they're being judged. I'm not judging them. It's just there's reasons people do the things they do.
Right.
And when there's always this history there, it's like, hey, you think that has nothing to do with this? It has everything to do with it.
Right.
And guess what? Like Tracy Lords resolved all that stuff. Magically, she didn't want to do that anymore and looked at that and went, boy, that was a different person that needed to do that.
Right. Right.
So and she's another one who's been very interesting for you to talk to. She can talk very deeply about this stuff.
Really?
She was a teenage porn star, and then she came out of it. Now she's just straight acting. Betsy, 22. What's up, Betsy?
Hey, I had a question. My husband, he wants to have anal sex. I mean,
good times?
I'm sorry?
Good times?
Good times.
That's the thing. I don't think it's a good... I don't know. I'm very annoyed about it. You know, I think I tell him, you know, it's like sensitive tissue back there, you know?
Really?
Yeah, I'm scared. I hear people say that, like, if you do it too much, you won't be able to control your bowel movements.
Give him the breakdown on anal sex.
All the things that can happen?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Well, that's Alicia Cuthbert asking about anal sex. It is an area of the body that women, as they age, tend to get trouble with anyway. Right. And men do, too. But women, as they, particularly much older, there can be prolapse where the whole thing just actually falls out, basically.
Okay.
It'll happen anyway?
I understand her pain.
Hang on. Hemorrhoids, fistulas, fissures, abscesses. This is an area that is already, there's lots of nasty bacteria in that area. And if you cause breaks in the skin that are not supposed to be there, they can get in, cause infections and fistulas and things. And so I worry that people are going to end up with a lot more pathology in that area, in an area that already, as you age, things tend to happen.
Right.
So, yes, at 22, it may not be immediately evident, but and certainly you won't be incontinent immediately, Betsy, at age 22, but it just concerns me that things can happen. So the other thing is, if it hurts, some women really like it. Fine. Good times. Some women, it really hurts. Why in God's name, if it really hurts, would you persist in continuing to try to do this thing that hurts you? Your boyfriend, your husband, whoever he is, he is so happy that you're having sex with him. That's all you need to do. That's it.
Yeah, but he doesn't believe me that, you know, I mean, sometimes he says, no, I'm just kidding. I just want to see what you'd say. But, you know.
All right, well, that's BS, too.
Yeah.
Of course he's BSing you. Oh,
he's
come
trying
on.
To push the.
He's pushing the envelope. Yeah. He's just testing the water. Oh, just kidding, just kidding. If you, on the other hand. If you, on the other hand, go, honey, let's try that. He'd be like, oh my God, fantastic. And by the way, he's just scratching things off his list. He has a list like.
We tried that new vibrator ring thingy.
Yeah, you mean the Trojan thing?
Yeah, and, that one. And I told him, you know, I wanted to try it, and he was willing to do it. So now his thing is...
He was willing to do it. Are you kidding? He's thinking, oh, my God, what's next?
Yeah, maybe you opened it.
Willing to do it.
Opened
he was willing to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't...
He was willing.
He doesn't believe me. He doesn't believe me like that. I tell him, you know, that's sensitive tissue back there. A lot of things could happen, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't believe me. He says, ah, no. So I figured, you know, if he hears it from a doctor...
Yeah, Betsy, I would urge you not to do this. That's my advice. That's my prescription. If I could put it in writing, I'd be happy to do it and sign it and send it to you. Okay? No anal sex. Big. Okay.
Especially if I'm nervous about it, you know?
Especially if it hurts.
If you're all tensed up.
And by the way, here's the other thing you can tell him is that okay, let's say I do this and it hurts, I will build such heavy resentment for you and there will be a day when I will extol my revenge. Claudio, what's happening? Claudio.
Hello.
He's somebody old, it says.
Somebody old?
Claudio from Massachusetts?
He's not there.
I hear sounds, though. Maybe he fell asleep.
I'm hearing some sort of sound, too, but...
Yeah, he's breathing. That's good. He's alive. How old is he? There you are. Claudio?
What was that?
He fell asleep. He's just breathing.
Oh, my God.
Here, listen. Shh. Such a great compliment, isn't it?
When you have people on hold and they pass out.
Claudio, Alicia Cuthbert wants to speak with you.
Wake up, Claudio.
That's it.
You know what? That's just wrong.
Steven, 21.
21-year-old's up.
Of course.
What's going on?
Hey, Steven. Steven.
Yeah, sorry.
You ever heard of poutine?
It's poutine.
Poutine?
There you go.
Which is a horribly weird
It's a
French
heart attack
accent.
In a bowl.
Why don't you tell them what that is?
It's a Canadian delicacy, really.
Delicacy.
It consists of French fries, curd cheese, and warm, hot turkey gravy. And I'm not kidding.
and
it's delicious.
And you're explaining to me that they serve it everywhere.
McDonald's. In
McDonald's has poutine.
Well, McDonald's, Harvey's, which you don't have here, but yeah, everywhere. Burger King. We all get. They
Somebody
all
else said they have like a McLobster up in Canada.
That's just wrong. I don't even.
Well, poutine is wrong. If you got that, you might as well go all the way to lobster.
But if you've tried it, and if the people who know what I'm talking about out there will understand.
Okay, let's repeat. French fries.
French
fries. Deep fried potato.
Curd cheese. It's not sour cheese.
Curdled cheese.
You can substitute with mozzarella.
Okay.
Shredded mozzarella.
Melted on top.
Well, the gravy melts it into
gravy.
The fries.
Fat in a liquid form.
In a liquid
fat
form.
Fat in a fried form.
It's like a really good, it's like our equivalent to chili fries.
All right. We have that here. All right. I'll give you that. We have bad food
bad
here,
for
too.
You, too.
You're right.
You know.
Steven, what's going on?
Sorry.
Alicia Cuthbert.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, basically, I'm 21 years old, and when I was 18, I knocked up my girlfriend, and just a few weeks ago, my current girlfriend just told me she got pregnant. And both times, we used protection using condoms. From what we can tell, no breaks or slippages. So right now, I'm actually kind of considering vasectomy.
So you never want to have children?
Well, I never wanted to have kids in the first place, but don't get me wrong, I love my daughter.
Oh, ooh. So she went through with the pregnancy?
Yes.
Okay. So that's maybe enough for you.
Yeah.
You become a danger to humanity.
now I'm going to have a second one by a different woman, and now it's, you know, I never wanted to have kids in the first place. And
all right, it's reasonable. It's reasonable. I get you. I think the more reasonable thing, had you not had any kids, would be to put your partners on hormonal contraceptives, or maybe add a second barrier, like a sponge or something. But be that as it may, you have two kids, you want to have a vasectomy. I think you would probably be able to get that done.
Well, just to tell you, the first one, she was on birth control, the pill.
And a condom?
And a condom. And spermicidal jelly as well.
Oh, well, the new Messiah is a girl. This is Immaculate Conception.
How's that possible?
It's not.
I mean...
You sure this is your child?
Yes, I had a DNA test to confirm.
Wow. Steven.
You got some serious sperm.
Serious.
Woo. Killing it.
Well, it penetrated latex. It found an egg in the ovary before it had been released. This is nutty stuff.
I don't know what the exact thing is, but I'm just saying, you know, my daughter is too. I mean, I
know. Listen, we're busting your chops a little bit. Well, so what's the question exactly? We're saying, okay, reasonable to have a vasectomy.
But how old is he? You're 21?
21, but he's had two kids. Doesn't want any, has two now.
Okay, yeah.
What is your question for us?
Well, what would be the, like, I've been trying to research it online, and they're always saying that you should wait till you're probably 30 or 40.
Yes, 28 is about the cutoff there. But you have extenuating circumstances. We had an engineer on the show who had it done. How old was Mike? You remember Engineer Mike? He had it done when he was in his early, mid-20s maybe.
Is it bad for you health-wise?
To have vasectomy?
Well, yeah, if you're that young and...
No, it's no different.
Okay.
Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, if he wants to do it.
You may have to shop around, Stephen, a bit to get somebody who's willing to do it, but you should be able to. Claudio.
Hey, that's a Drew.
Hey, buddy, what's happening?
He's awake.
I've been listening to you guys for a long, long time.
Really?
Yes, because I'm a good fan to you guys.
That's very kind of you. Where are you calling from?
That's the first time I call you guys because I've been listening to you guys every day. I work nights.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Massachusetts.
Well, it's a big stay. What else? There's a lot of people, a lot of different cities in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I'm a baker. You know, I make donuts right now.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts.
No, I don't work at Dunkin'.
Krispy Kreme.
I work at Heavenly Donuts.
Heavenly Donuts.
Yeah.
I thought Dunkin' had taken over every donut shop in New England.
I know.
What city are you in?
I'm right here in Lawrence.
Lawrence, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
A donut and a puts in.
That's health in a bottle.
Yes, I work for family business, a small business.
Where I thought I knew Massachusetts pretty well. Where is Lawrence?
Lawrence is next to Matone.
Oh, of course. No. Tell me, give me another bigger city near there.
Well, it's off 93. You know, I don't know this place here very well. I live in Salem, New Hampshire. I work right here in Lawrence.
You live in Salem?
Yes.
Okay, we know where Salem is. Got it.
Yeah,
you ever been to the... There's a recreation of the whole Plymouth plantation and stuff over there. It's very interesting.
I don't know what with you anymore.
What's that?
Huh?
The other guy. What was his name?
Adam? Yeah? What about him?
He don't work on the show anymore?
He no work on the show no more.
It's me now, baby.
It's Galicia Cuthbert tonight. We have celebrity co-hosts in. Adam took over for Howard Stern in mornings in the West.
He's a funny guy, too.
He's a very Howard Stern's a funny guy, too, and so is Adam. And you guys hear David Lee Roth out there. We get Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Claudia, you have any questions, any problems, everything good in your life?
Well, no, I don't have any problems, no. I'm a married guy. I have four kids, you know. I'm a happy guy.
That's good.
You know,
good.
I called up there to say hi to you, you know, because, you know, I listen to this station every night, you know. I'm a big fan of you guys.
That's very kind. I really appreciate your call. I went to college in Massachusetts. I love New England, and I miss it dearly. Not so much this time of year, but around November I start missing it. February is when I start not missing it.
Yeah, it's too cold.
You've lived in Canada,
yeah,
for God's sake.
It's too cold.
That's where you start eating fatty foods and stuff. You just figure you're going to die, so what the hell? It's so damn cold. You hope you're going to die. No, I love New England. Seriously, it was the best thing I ever did. I was living in Massachusetts for a while.
Really?
Yeah. It's great. Californians need to get out of this state. Your mind will rot if you stay here too long.
I know.
All right, that's
soft.
Alicia Cuthbert. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. You know her as Jack Bauer's daughter. She fights crime every day. Terrorist. She's in 24. You also know her from The Girl Next Door. You're in Love, actually. I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
House of Wax.
Old school, yeah.
My goodness. She is Canadian. Yeah. She eats poutine. And we'll be right back.
Hello. This is your radio. Love Line will be right back.
everybody. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE. Although I've not got the official sort of green light on listener Loveline, we are collecting your letters. Send them care of Loveline producer Ann, 5901 Venice Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034. I know we're going to get a green light. They're actually checking out the legal issues now for promoting a show and then requiring people to get themselves here. So we actually may have to get a sponsor to get plane tickets and things like that to be able to pay to bring people out to make it fair for everybody. So send the letters, even if you have trouble getting here, because there may yet be a way that we can pay to have you brought in. So
that'd be nice.
That voice is that of Alicia Cuthbert. Mm-hmm. She's from 24.
That's so strong.
That is very strong. She is Jack Bauer's daughter, and she fights terrorism every day.
Apparently. I don't do that anymore.
You don't? No. Just
no,
not
I'm
every
just
day.
The daughter.
We got a couple of calls for you. Let's first talk to Matt, who's 22. Matt?
Hi, Alicia.
Hi.
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 Just wanted to call in. I really don't have a question for you. Okay. I'm a longtime fan of yours. I've always loved all your work.
Thanks.
And I was wondering, I know kind of MySpace has taken over the world, and I was kind of wondering if you happen to have a MySpace account so that I could chat with you.
You know what? I don't. I had a blog that was about hockey for a little while.
Oh, you're a hockey fan?
Yeah, huge hockey fan.
Canadian fan? Canadians, or what are you?
Well, I'm going for the Kings because I live here now.
You're going out? Oh,
hell
yeah.
But so I had a little blog going, and then but I stopped it on the new year because I've been kind of busy. But no MySpace account. Sorry about it.
Oh, too bad. I'd love to chat with you.
About what, Matt?
Just a chat. I mean, nothing particular.
You're chatting with her right now.
I know. And you know what, though? This MySpace thing is crazy. Yeah. It's got, like, how many million, like 45 million people on there
yes.
or something?
Yes. Nutty.
It's crazy.
Here's another Alicia call. Taylor, 19. I thought Matt blew his opportunity there. He's inviting you to go chat in a cyberspace world when he had the real thing right there.
I was right here. On the phone.
You snooze, you lose. Oh, Taylor, what's up? You're 19.
Hey, Dr. Drew, Alicia, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, Drew, long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm the biggest fan. I know you hear that all the time. But
that's very kind. Now, you're Canadian, right?
Actually, I said that to the caller so she would let me on. I'm born in L.A., raised here all my life. I just want to
of course
Alicia.
You're from L.A.
All right, go ahead. Are you Kings fan?
Oh, my God. I'm a little upset right now because they just lost to the Lightning. But
I know, Alicia, I know.
First of all, I have to say, Girl Next Door, favorite movie of my life.
Oh, my God, thank you. Thank you so much.
And I was wondering, what was it like to work with Emile Hirsch? He's another good actor. I like him
yeah.
a lot. So.
Yeah, he's a little older now. I think he's like 21 or something. I worked with him. He was 17.
He up here? Did we have him up here?
I don't think so, no. No.
That's awesome.
We had somebody else in that movie, I think, up here.
Timothy Oliphant?
Maybe, yes.
Maybe he's on Deadwood or HBO show.
I think so.
He was great. I mean, I think it shows on the film, too. We spent a lot of time together rehearsing and making sure that, you know, the chemistry was right. And he just really knew what to do with his character. And we had a really good time filming.
That's awesome. And one more quick thing.
I
heard a few rumors that you were dating my favorite player, Sean Avery. I have to say, if you were to date anybody else except for me, he's the person I'd want you to be with.
So you'll,
well, thank you for your approval.
You're handing her over to him. That's awesome. Natalie, 23.
Hi, Dr. Drew. How are you doing?
Good. What's happening?
Okay, I've got, like, this issue. I started dating this guy, and we haven't gotten physical or anything, but he told me that he has herpes.
Okay.
And I really like him, and I can see myself with him, but I don't really know if it's worth the risk. I don't really even know all that much about it.
All right. Yeah. How long has he had it for?
I know for at least 2 years.
Do you know how frequent his outbreaks are?
He said about once every other month.
Ooh, so still pretty active.
Yeah.
Well, there's just for the sake of discussion, if he'd had it, say, 10 years, oftentimes the viral shedding and the frequency of outbreak goes almost to zero. It can really kind of burn itself out over long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at his stage, he could be contagious really all the time, even when he's not having outbreaks. So the thing you could do, first of all, wear a condom religiously. Only that is not perfect in terms of protecting you. The second thing he could do is get on antiviral medication.
Yeah, he's on that.
So in spite of that, in spite of daily medication, he's having twice every other monthly outbreaks.
Yeah.
Well, it's a little risky. It's risky. I will tell you, though, that the research on the folks on the antiviral therapies looks pretty good in terms of them having very limited viral shedding. So you can sort of predict more reliably that when he's not having an outbreak or premonitory symptoms, he's not likely to be infectious. And that plus a condom protects you pretty well. Okay. So you've got to sort of, you know, thank God he told you, and you've got to sort of make your choices. Yeah. All right?
And I'm trying to, because I'm looking at, like, what the, if me catching it with all those protections, I even hear that 90% of people who have it don't even know it because their symptoms aren't
yeah.
great.
Right, especially women can have it not know it. Very common.
Really? Okay.
Yep. All right?
All right. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. This is Carmelite, 25. Carmelite. Now, this is somebody who's asleep. Again, huge compliment for the show. Carmelite?
Hello, yeah.
I don't hear anything.
There she is. There you are.
Hello.
What's up?
I'm sorry.
Where were you?
My reception gets kind of funny. Right by my house, and I just got to my house.
All right. What's up?
I just was calling because I had heard on the show last night you were talking to somebody who said they had orgasms when they were five.
Yep.
And you were saying that's kind of unusual.
That was a male.
It's not unusual in a woman.
It's not as unusual as it's unusual, but it's really unusual with a male.
Like, how do you remember when you were five?
People are different that way. What's that?
I remember masturbating, and I think I had orgasms when I was three. Actually,
it's kind of, Alicia.
I don't remember any of those years.
Where do your memories kick in?
Like 10, maybe.
Nothing before 10, really.
I don't think so.
Well, everybody's kind of different with their childhood memories. Sometimes people don't remember because childhood was very traumatic and overwhelming. Sometimes you don't remember because it was just sort of pleasant. Nothing really ever happened and your identity didn't kick in.
Maybe I was boring.
Or your where your memory occurs is something called the hippocampus. The sort of myelination of the cells doesn't kick in until a certain age.
Right.
I could remember year one.
Whoa.
Weird, yeah, weird.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah, I have a son that does that too. And the other two, not the kids. Mm-mm.
They're like, no.
No, no way. They're like, huh? What happened?
I remember certain things, but maybe because my mom told me about certain things.
You should have certain memories, but you may not have a cohesive sense of history.
Right.
But you should have little vignettes that you remember.
Huh. Yeah.
No. And so Carmelite remembers masturbating. It does suggest that, you know, the fact that... You know, the things we worry about, Carmelite, is that A, somebody got to you and sexualized you, and it doesn't sound like that's particularly the case. Secondly, a lot of chaos in the home. Kids, when they're sort of trying to overcome a lot of overwhelming feelings, they will start to masturbate and self-stimulate and that kind of thing. And girls, little girls, sometimes will have sort of orgasmic-type feelings. The boys usually do not. But one the other night did say he did, okay?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was probably a little chaotic, but I don't know. No abuse, so.
Yeah, the chaos is really the most common thing. So.
Interesting.
Alicia Cuthbert from 24, Jack Bauer's daughter, eats poutine.
Yes, I do.
She's from the famous Cuthbert family of the shortbread production company. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Those tins with the shortbread?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay. Oh, my God.
This is Mike, 20.
Yeah, hello?
Mike, what's up? Hey, what's happening there?
All right. I read on the back of a Lysol can that it kills genital herpes.
Great. So you sprayed it on your penis?
Yeah. So if I spray it on, I'm asking you, if I spray it on my penis and have sex with the woman, will I lower my chances of getting herpes from her?
No. But genius question. No.
Lysol.
Because by the way, here's for all you geniuses out there trying to find ways around your own biological being. If there were good things to be done that could help you, make you healthier, protect you against things, I promise you, I would know it. I promise. It's why I spend my life studying this stuff, and I would make sure I knew that kind of thing. Tim, 28.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good.
Good, thanks.
Well, actually, I have a kind of topic that hits home with Alicia. It's kind of my dream since I was little to be an actor, and I'm out here in L.A. pursuing it, and I'm married. And when I'm from the Midwest. My wife is from the Midwest, and she followed me out here. And so... I've been pretty much under pressure for the last 2 or 3 years to give up on my dream and move back to the Midwest, even though we made a formal arrangement to not give up on the acting thing.
What does that mean? What do you mean you made a formal arrangement?
Well, not a formal arrangement, but just like...
A decision between the two of you that you weren't going to continue.
An agreement.
That she would give me time, yeah.
All right,
and then she's kind of reneged on that, which is really hard on me because... She's got a lot of parental pressure to move back to the Midwest and stuff, and my family is completely supportive of me acting, and I go on auditions and things like that. And so, I don't know, it's just been a struggle between, because sometimes I feel like...
All right, let's hear what Alicia's got to say. We got your picture, Tim.
I feel like, if you're taking a break, you don't necessarily have to be, I mean, to be acting, it can also mean being in local plays and being a part of acting groups in your community. And I mean, I think if I go a long period of time where I feel like it's a dead season, or it's like, you know, I'm not going out on a lot of auditions, I'll go and act with a bunch of friends at a class in LA. And I know that you can do that in a lot of cities, and just don't lose that creative edge that drives you to want to do it. You know what I mean? I think you can live your life and take a break, but in between that, there shouldn't be any reason why you can't partake in other things that go along with acting, you know?
All right, Tim.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
let me offer one other piece of advice, sure. And this may or may not be something you can sort of put to use.
Okay,
but that is that the job of young adulthood is, and this is going to sound kind of awkward, but to create a cohesive sense of yourself. But what I mean by that is to integrate things about yourself into a mature whole that can be productive in life. It's becoming realistic about you, your abilities, and reality. It may include a dream, and you may push that dream to the limit, and you'll never have regrets having done it. But you may at some point, and I'm not saying give up, but you may need to sort of create a synthesis of your abilities that may include acting and performing all things you want to do. But maybe you find some other creative solution that actually allows you to make a living and go
right,
on and be productive.
It's not, it's not an easy thing, I
right.
guess.
I think people get too very rigid in what they feel like. They
maybe that's what their agreement was, though, because she was probably like...
Well, but his concept of his dream when he was 12 becomes a fixed, rigid thing as opposed to something that evolves and matures.
That's happening so,
it's happening and evolves.
Life.
I mean, I remember I knew people that did that, like what Tim did, ended up being like casting directors and doing other things that were
right,
very satisfying for them and very successful.
And also in the same world.
In that world, and maybe not exactly as they thought it would be when they were 12, but still very creative, very productive, and included those parts themselves that got expressed through that synthesis.
Right.
Tyler, 13. What's up, Tyler?
Yeah, what's up?
You're on Love Line with Alicia Cuthbert.
Hi.
Oh, thanks for taking my call.
Surely.
My aunt is 36, and she's dating a 19-year-old.
Good times.
And? I think it's, like, weird, though, you know, because I, like, played with the 19-year-old, and he's, like, my friend.
Tyler, I just got bogus from word go with you, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know the international laws of bogosity. Is it bogus?
Yeah, kind of.
All right, Tyler, thank you for being honest. Anything else going on in your life? You can talk for a minute for being so keen and honest and trying so hard. But here's the thing about bogus calls. You got to develop some acting skills, Alicia. You got to be able to sell it.
And Dr. Drew's the king.
Yeah, I can feel it in
calls,
my
baby.
Guts. Where do you live, Tyler?
I live in Utah.
Whereabouts?
Layton.
Where is that? Is there near Ski Hills?
Kind of around Salt Lake. About
Salt Lake. Are you Mormon?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Any other questions, Tyler? Everything good in your life?
Yeah, like, I have a question about, like, when does this, like, episode of When I'm On come on?
It's on right now. I don't know. When you're in your town, sometimes there's a tape delay of one day. But I suspect in Utah you were just live. So all your friends should be calling you right now. Alicia Cuthbert, the famous Cuthbert family.
Goodness.
They make great. There we are.
Oh, man.
They make great shortbreads in a tin. And
do people not, like, they listen to your show and they know that you're the king of
well, but
prank
that's
calls.
Kind of a challenge, right, to get through. And by the way, I welcome the challenge. I like to sort of hone my skills.
No, but
people
I mean,
think they can get through.
Man,
you got it.
Last time I was here.
I've been full. I've been. People have gotten through. The people kind of know the right things to say where I can't stop going with them because
right.
the stakes are so high that I kind of have to go.
I know.
And then I kind of forget that sort of instinctive part of me and just go with the question.
No, it's good.
Alicia Cuthbert again here. She plays Jack Bauer's daughter. We have some questions about Kiefer Sutherland coming up. We have 14-year-old. So we'll get your calls at 1-800-LOVE-191. We're going to take a little break and be right back.
Love Line.
Loveline will be right back.
Hey, it's Loveline, and this is Weezer you're hearing. And if you see the video, you'll
see
Alicia Cuthbert. So if you wonder who you're talking to tonight, you can just check out the Weezer video online.
Yeah, that was fun.
Doing the video?
Yeah.
When did you guys do that?
A couple months before Christmas.
This year?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Is it out there in cyberspace somewhere where they can look at it?
Yeah, I think it's on the net somewhere. It's called Perfect Situation, and they called me up. I guess they were fans of 24, and they were looking for an actress.
Wait, were you a crime fighting in this thing? Or
no, I was rocking out. They made me like a little mini rock star for 2 days.
Fun.
Yeah, it was good. It was a lot of fun.
Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's get on to some calls here with Alicia Cuthbert. This is Diane. She is 20. Diane.
Hi, Dr. Drew. I was calling because when I was 13, I had seen a gynecologist because I was having menstrual problems, and he couldn't do a pap smear on me because he had told me that I had torn and I had scar tissue that had grown back, making it unable for me to tear. He said I was the size of a pencil.
Oh, my.
And he said I wouldn't be able to have sex till I was 18 and I got a surgery done. Well, when I was 16, I was raped, and I never got the surgery done. And now I'm 20, and every time I have sex, I tear. So I was wondering, first of all, if that's an issue I should get taken care of. And
yes, 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 yes. Do not wait. Go to the gynecologist. Secondly, the fact that you were raped in your mid-adolescence does make me wonder about sexual abuse prior, because it's a very common antecedent for people that are victimized as an adolescent. And you throw in the fact that in your first pap smear or pelvic exam, you had scarring already, does suggest some early trauma, doesn't it?
Yes. No, I don't have any recollection of that. So is that something that I should try to...
Yeah. I mean, well, you don't need... Here's the deal. The dredging up memories is not that important necessarily. What's important is the fact that those sorts of experience leave an imprint in how your brain develops and how you learn... how you develop the capacity for emotional regulation. And if you need help with that and with having stable relationships, that's what you get help about. Okay?
Yeah. So how would a gynecologist be able to fix my problem now?
It depends what the issue is. It may just be lasering things to try to, you know, so things don't keep scarring and restenosing, it's called. So things, after you've torn something, it kind of heals back, sticks back together, and scars then narrows more. That's one of the things I worry about with all this anal sex stuff. That can start to happen very commonly.
Tearing
and then stenosis. It's a lovely thing. Okay. Nanny 19, or Nani.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. You're on with Alicia Cuthbert on Loveline.
Hi. Nice to talk to you guys.
Hi.
Hi. So I was listening to the girl call in about, you know, young kids masturbating and having orgasms. And my nephew is, he's 4 years old now. And, you know, he, you know, plays with this himself and he's watching TV. And, you know, he leaned over and kind of made, you know, a little face. And I asked him what happened. And he said that it was a little tickling sensation. So, you know, how do you go about, you know...
There's only really two things that I would concern myself with that. You know, because realize it's normal for kids to touch themselves and don't want to shame them about their body. But one of the things you want to teach them is where it's proper to do that kind of thing and where it isn't. And, you know, maybe you don't want to do that around your auntie. This is your private area and this is something you do by yourself. Something of that order. And then secondly, I always become worried when I see kids stimulating like that and sort of provocative, not provocative, but maybe inappropriate situations, that what they may be subjective to is a little overwhelming. Whether it's the stability of the home or the chaos in the home or drugs and alcohol, whatever it is, just trying to get that home into a more, a calmer place, let's say, a more safe place. When you're growing up, were things okay?
Yeah.
Well, the Irish thing.
Well, I'm 8 years older than my brother, so I remember clearly him being, you know, 4 and 5, and he used to run around naked all the time.
Of course.
I mean,
course.
It's just, I feel like that's something that get little kids do.
But this kid was
down his pants, and
that's all good. No, but he was doing it until he had some sort of reaction, she said.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever.
I don't think we've...
Not that big a deal.
Yeah.
But no. And your family was good, though.
Yeah, really good.
And again, your dad owned an auto...
No, he's an engineer and designs molds that create parts for cars, sort of fiberglass and resin, and he does a lot of cool stuff like
Canada
that.
Canada has cars?
Well, no, he has parts for cars that get delivered to Detroit. And
okay, so it's American Motor Cars.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. He's a smart guy.
He's
very quiet. My mom's very outgoing, very crazy, big personality. My dad sort of just sits and watches her in amazement. That's sort of the dynamic.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of like, that's my mom. And my dad looks at me, he's like, I know, trust me. It's funny.
Did you go to college?
I didn't.
Went right to work.
Yeah.
Here's Shannon, 28.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on? You're on Alicia Cuthbert.
Yeah. First of all, Dr. Dre, I want to say thank you for doing what you do.
Oh, you're very kind. Hey, you know what, Shannon? Well, ask your question, but we may run out of time. If we do, I'm going to come back to you. But go ahead, ask the question.
Oh, I just wanted to ask Alicia what it's like to work with Kiefer. Is he as intimidating as he appears to be?
Yeah, he is, actually. Because he is. He's so good, you know. And he does the Jack Bauer thing so well.
He's intense.
He's really intense, and he cares a lot about the show. And if you're not up to par, he'll let you know, you know. But that's what demands the best out of the show. And he's great to work with, and he's really, I feel like, stepped up my game as far as acting goes. And he's just a good guy.
Yeah. There you go, Shannon.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Straight from his daughter. Thanks for calling. All right, that's Alicia Cuthbert.
TV daughter,
she
by
is
the way.
20, I'm just saying. Just keep going with the fighting terrorism facade.
Yeah, exactly.
She is on 24, as we said. You also know her from The Girl Next Door. We're going to take a little break, and Alicia and I will be right back. Hey, buddy, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. The irrepressible Alicia Cuthbert is in here with us. Poutine-eating Alicia Cuthbert. She is from The Girl Next Door. You know her from 24. She's all over the place. And now you just finished a film, Captivity?
Yeah, I shot it in Russia. I was there for 3 months.
Where in Russia were you?
Moscow.
Was that amazing?
It was. It was a culture shock. I mean, yeah. I've been to a lot of places in the world, and that just threw me for a loop. The people there are amazing, but it was so... No one spoke English. The writing is completely different. It's like someone dropped me off and just left me.
Planet or
yeah,
something.
Just
but you were there
me.
With a bunch of other
Well, there's only two other actors in the film, so it's a total of like three, and then there was another group of actors that came in after us, and it was just really me and the director, Roland Joffe, and...
Why Russia?
Well, the producers for the film were Russian, and they wanted to film it in Russia and kind of promote filmmaking in Russia. I don't know.
Really?
Because literally, we could have shot it anywhere.
You didn't need Red Square or something for the scenery?
Definitely not.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So we kind of sat there, and we're like, what are we doing here, you know?
Oh, no.
But you know what? It kind of gave a little bit of edge to the film, you know? It's sort of, I think when you take a group of people like that and create a movie somewhere else, and you're away from your environment, you focus primarily on the film and being on the location, and
yeah,
it sort of sets a tone. I don't know, it's interesting. It's hard to explain, but
the film's already sort of a sensory deprivation experience because you're with the same group of people day in and day out,
for a short
isolated
period of time.
From your life.
It's like a family all of a sudden, an instant family, and then they go away, and it's just crazy.
That's a weird part of this whole business that everybody talks about. These intense relationships form, and then they're vanished.
And then they're gone. But maybe that's kind of what I like about it.
Did you...
The
change. Yeah, I understand that. Did you have to get to see any of the cultural stuff there? Did you view land?
Yeah, we drove around, and my driver, Vladimir, he showed me around.
Did you learn to speak any Russian?
Yeah. That's yes, and yet, and...
Could you ask for scrambled eggs or something?
No. Oh my God, it's a hard language. It's a tough one to learn, but it was a good experience. But it was crazy place, beautiful.
Did you go see the Kremlin jewels?
Yeah,
and
I did it. I did it all.
Let's
yeah,
look at Lenin lying there in his glass case.
You know what? The day that I went, it was closed.
Oh, he was sleeping.
And he was yeah.
He'd gone back in his cage for the
I
night.
Was right outside though. I'm impressed that you know all this stuff. Putin, I didn't see him though.
Didn't get to meet him.
No.
That he's an interesting guy. All right, let's take some calls. This is Kendra, 24. Kendra.
Hey, this is Kendra. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure. It's Alicia Cuthbert tonight. What's happening?
I had a ectopic pregnancy almost 3 years ago, and it was horrible, really horrible. I almost died.
So you had, just again to clarify for people, ectopic is a pregnancy that settles in the tube, grows in the tube, ruptures the tube. You can bleed to death in a few minutes with that, and obviously those babies don't make it.
Yeah. Mine was actually on my ovary.
Wow.
And it ruptured, and I waited way too long to go to the hospital. I didn't know I was pregnant. I didn't realize what was happening to me. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of abdominal pain, but I thought I just had, like, food poisoning or something.
Yeah, so
and
again,
losing, like, 2 liters of blood.
Young women with any vaginal bleeding and pelvic pain where there's even a possibility of pregnancy is an ectopic until proven otherwise.
And I didn't have any vaginal bleeding.
Ah.
The entire time. Even until I went into surgery, never even a drop of blood came out of me. So when I went into the ER, they didn't exactly believe that I could have an ectopic because of that, and they made me wait like 5 hours.
Good times.
Before they even saw me, so that was pretty horrible. Anyway, so I have also two other children. One was before the ectopic, and one was after.
Okay, and?
And I had my tubes tied after my last son, and I'm just wondering what the chances are that I could have another ectopic with a tubal.
Zero if the ligation was successful. You're really asking the question, what's the potential of that tubal ligation failing and then being complicated by further ectopic pregnancy? I imagine it's far less than 1%.
Okay. Good.
That's why you do that. Yeah,
and I think a lot more young women need to be aware of this issue just in case.
How long before it ruptures? How long?
After the pelvic pain begins, usually it's a couple, but it's usually
weeks?
Like 6 weeks into, 4 to 6 weeks into the pregnancy.
Wow.
But from pain to critically ill
to bleeding
can be minutes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it can really, usually it's hours or days, but it can be quite abrupt sometimes.
I had
good to know.
Both of my sons naturally, and I would say that the ectopic was more painful than natural childbirth.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was
really horrible.
All right, Kendra, thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, this is Katie, 23. What's up, Katie?
Hi. Me and my boyfriend are trying to have a baby, and we both smoke, and I was just wondering, we've been trying for a few months, and nothing's happening. You know what I mean?
Well, let's kind of reason this out a little bit. I think everyone knows that alcohol and tobacco, not good for pregnancy, is right?
Yes.
And putting things in your body that don't belong there, not good for pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so pot's probably not good for pregnancy.
Well, we're trying to get pregnant, though. I don't plan on smoking while I'm pregnant. It's conception. We're having trouble.
How are you going to know you're pregnant to stop?
What do you mean?
You have sex tonight. Do you stop smoking pot for 2 weeks after every time you have sex?
No.
Okay, so you're going to keep smoking pot right on into the pregnancy.
I guess so.
There you go. So here we are. So this pregnancy is doomed. Not from the standpoint it's going to have two marijuana-addicted parents, A. It's going to be exposed to marijuana in utero, and it may well be that you don't get pregnant because it's not so much what the pot does to you, which is obviously not going to be great, but it can really affect the sperm count, the sperm effectiveness at creating conception. So it affects fertility in guys. Drops their testosterone level, raises their estrogen level. That's why adolescent men who smoke a lot of pot get man boobs.
That's interesting.
Good times, huh?
Good times.
Andrew, 14.
Hi. I've got a question about me and my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get close to each other, but she seems afraid, and she tells me that she's afraid, but she doesn't know what she's afraid of.
I don't know either, because I don't know what the word closer means.
Well, I mean, like, not sex close, but I mean, like, just more, I mean, intimate and, like,
What do you think? Was that a code for something, Alicia?
No,
I'm not that into this guy?
Right.
Could that be a code?
Well, I mean, like, just like us making out or anything like that.
What does she say?
Well, like, we try or whatever, and she'll, like, she won't, like, be, you know, like...
What does she say?
She just says...
When you try and make out with her, what does she say to you?
Well, we try, and then we don't, and then I ask her what the problem is, and she's just like, she says she's afraid, but she doesn't know what she's afraid of.
Yeah, I think that might be a sign of...
not into
it. Not quite into it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Maybe she's trying, but she's...
I know that's kind of early, but...
There's various possibilities. She could have social phobia. Maybe she's one of the people just really is afraid of interacting with other people. Unlikely. Maybe she is just, again, nervous about sort of new territory. But at 14, kind of like withdrawing that much, do you wonder if she was abused or something growing up? So that's a possibility. And these are common possibilities. Then even a more possibility is just not that into it.
Yeah.
That's where Alicia's going with this.
That's where I'm leaning.
That's that Irish spidey sense is telling her.
She's just not into it.
Ian, 23, what's up?
How you doing, sir?
We're good.
First thing, Alicia, me and my friend are big fans of yours. You're great.
Am I mispronouncing it? Was it Alicia or Alicia?
It's Alicia.
Yeah.
Thank you, though. Thank you.
Okay, I'm in the Marine Corps. I just got back from deployment from Japan. I was there for 8 months. And I met this girl, like, on the boat while I was over, deployed over there. And we hung out for, like, all of October and November. And then I left early December, and we got really
close.
Hold on.
She was in Japan?
Yes.
She's still there?
Yes, she's still there.
She's an American Marine, or she's a Japanese girl?
Yeah, she's in the Navy, actually. She's American.
Okay, all right. And?
I'm pretty much, I've been back since December 7th, I've been back. And the first month and a half I've been back, it's been great. It's been great. But I'm pretty much like, she's been calling me less and writing me less. And she's been telling me, like, all she hangs out with guys pretty much, because when you're in the military, there's not that many females. So that's all there is to hang out with, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if she's lying to me about some things that, like.
Like what?
She's telling me that, like, some guys like hit on her, but she turns them down, and she kind of like changes the subject real quick. And what I pretty much want to know is, am I being like a chump, pretty much like trying to make this work or anything? Because like before we even started this, like we
you
like,
know one thing I Ian I've sort of learned through doing this show is when women are in, they're in, just like guys too. I mean, but women they'll let you know if they don't find reasons not to keep going down the path to a relationship. If that's where they want to go.
Right.
They keep throwing open the doors for you to go through.
Yeah.
Now, you may be too lame to see it or do it, but they aren't going to be throwing up roadblocks. She's throwing up roadblocks.
Yeah.
And this is, and again, Alicia with her uncanny sensibility.
My looks over here.
And diabolical,
like, oh.
And diabolical side is saying she thinks it's not that you're being a chump. It's not that she's a bad person. Just whatever. She's not having into a relationship right now. She's not into this right now. She's just
every time we talk, whatever. Like she like tells me how much she loves me and whatnot.
Loves you. Like, uses that word.
Yeah, she uses that word.
That's kind of weird, huh?
But then, yeah, but like, she hasn't been calling you as much. What?
She was calling me like every couple of days, and then it like came down to like every week, like week or not. Just a couple of weeks ago. Like, she called me once a week, whatever, and then
yeah.
She doesn't tell me what she's doing, and...
She doesn't use the word love anymore.
She does, but, like, I'm, like, catching in a little white lies, you know? Like, she's telling me, like, some of her friends she's hanging out with are married, and then
I think it's just the fact that he's feeling these things would indicate that there's something wrong.
I would say, I wish I had...
Because if it was healthy and it was doing well, you wouldn't have these problems, I don't think.
Exactly. I wish when I was 23, I had me... Now to come back and talk to me and say, hey, stop it. Just cut it out. Life is too short. So right. Stop spinning your wheels. Move on.
Right. It was fun. And
great. Good times. There's more. Keep going. Keep going. Sathya?
Yeah.
28. What's that? What is that? Sathya?
Sathya.
What kind of name is that?
It's Old East Indian Sanskrit. It means...
Oh, my goodness. Means truth?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
That's nice.
Who is this? Oh.
This is Dr. Drew, and this is Alicia Cuthbert.
Alicia Cuthbert, hello.
Hi, your voice sounds different.
Careful, she'll put
on... Who, mine?
No, Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew.
Oh, so here we are.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. Anyway, you know what? This is not my question, but I just have to say, I was really appalled. I was listening on the phone to that girl who was saying she was trying to get pregnant, planning on getting pregnant, and I just want to say, please don't bring a child into our society. I mean, when you're planning on getting pregnant, you want to be healthy. And
this is the marijuana addicted kids. Yeah,
before you're planning on having the baby, you want your body to be healthy.
Yes,
you know, you don't stop after you find out you're pregnant. That's just I have two
right. But that's addiction.
Yeah.
It's one of the interesting things about pot in our world is people don't want to believe how powerfully addictive it is for some people. So
yeah.
So what's going on?
Well, I was just wondering. I have not gotten a straight answer. I am married, have been married for 6.5 years, have two beautiful children. We have a very healthy life, and I got scabies. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, I've had, you know, played out all different scenarios of where I could have gotten it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm getting the runaround because I work for a veterinarian, but I'm also a body worker. And so,
what's a body worker? What does that mean? Alicia's intrigued. She's tantalized.
Body worker.
What does that mean?
I'm a massage therapist.
Oh, okay.
And
I've never heard of a licensed massage therapist calling themselves a body worker.
Body worker.
Well,
so you're not licensed.
I am licensed.
Okay. body worker.
But I also do. I'm an esthetician. I also do facials.
Okay, I see. Okay, got it.
Pedicures. I mean, whatever.
Got it. Okay.
I don't really know what to call myself, so I guess body worker's not.
Let me ask you this: why are you so obsessed with trying to figure out where you got the scabies? You apply a cream. Scabies is a little bug that burrows into your skin. It typically causes an itchy rash around your wrists, waistline, and ankles. People usually think it's fleas, but it's a different thing. And you wear a cream head to toe.
Right.
One night, it goes away.
Yeah, I know. I did that. I get a different answer from the doctor.
But why are you obsessing about? Why are you obsessing? There's no way the doctor's going to know where it came from.
Is it like chiggers?
Well, not where it came from, but like because you know I.
Did you write Little House on the Prairie or something?
I'm sorry.
Did you? I'm hanging on a second, Sandy.
I'm sorry.
Alicia's like
I
showing
just said,
her more
chiggers.
She grew up in the woods or something.
Yeah, in the South. You know, you walk through the field and you don't wear socks, and all of a sudden you got chiggers and you got to put nail polish on them.
Yeah, that's probably. That's probably more like a tick.
But scabies are a mite, and it's like a spider. It's in the spider family, right? But
it's in the lice family.
Oh, okay. Well, wouldn't it be from animals?
No.
It's probably from the massage.
It's probably
the
from
cream,
yes.
The oil.
No, it's probably from touching other people.
I have a very specific clientele. I mean, I have people coming to
Sathya. Hang on. A typical place that people get it from is hotels. So if you have a clientele that's doing a lot of traveling, they'll come back with a little scabies, not know it, and it's not until they proliferate that they really see they've got a problem. So it's often people that are actually quite successful and quite normal and quite whatever. You don't have to be living in squalor to get scabies. Scabies are very common.
How do you get rid of scabies?
It's a cream you put on at bedtime. You wash it off in the morning, and they're gone. Yeah, it gets in your bed and thing. You have to wash your clothes and
your
sheets.
Yeah,
you have
to do laundry all the time.
But Sandy, you're freaking out about nothing. You're freaking out about something that's terribly, terribly common.
I don't feel like I'm freaking out. I just was asking. I just wanted to ask another doctor's.
Well, you keep saying, I'm getting runarounds. I'm talking. You're asking multiple doctors. I'm getting runarounds, blah, blah. And it says up here you're worried about cat scratches. Where did that come from?
I didn't say I was worried about cat scratches. I had little cat scratches from helping hold a cat for a doctor or whatever, holding a kitten, playing with a kitten, and they had healed. And then that's where, like a week and a half later, that's where I noticed that they started getting, those scratches started getting really itchy and like kind of blistery. And I had let it go for a couple of days and then it was out of my control. So that's why I went to the doctor.
So that's where the scabies came in. It has nothing to do with the cat scratches.
No,
there is something called.
Well, I know cat scratch fever, and that's what I thought. But I said, well, would it be normal for it to spread on my chest?
Yeah, no.
And he said, no, well, then that sound that you might have scabies.
Right. It's cat scratch disease or cat scratch fever. You're very sick with that, typically. It's a rickettsial disease, I recall. But correct me, just your...
Chiggers?
Chiggers. But believe
me... Are you fascinated that I've had chiggers?
Well, keep going. Yes, I am, actually. What else have you had?
Let's
go through your medical history here.
I've had dizziness.
Dizziness. I got that already.
I have low blood pressure.
Yeah, I figured. Well,
that's
you're
about
a small
as
little
as
person, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't fainted from it yet.
No. Not low blood pressure is actually a good thing just on from an actuarial basis. It doesn't mean you're going to have symptoms.
Right.
But how did you experience Sathya? How would you describe her
neurotic.
Yeah, anxious. Yeah, you're right. And that's what I was trying to say.
She needs some.
I put her mic on hold. Listen, I know you're reasonable and you're smart and but you're intense and you're anxious. I'm just saying, be careful with all that anxiety. It's not good for kids.
It's dangerous.
They pick up on all that anxiety.
It was giving me a little bit, like it made my heart kind of race a bit.
And so this is not to be critical, please. It's just saying, come on, calm yourself.
Breathe.
Use all that good technique as a body worker.
Use that body worker material.
Or maybe you should visit a body worker. Derek, 16.
Hey, Dr. Drew, what's going on?
Well, we're talking to you here, buddy. What's happening?
Sorry. I had a question for Alicia.
Oh.
Yep.
How'd you get your start in the business? I'm a director and, you know, / actor myself, so I'm just curious about, you
16,
know,
director.
How'd you get your start?
Hey, Spielberg was like made his first movie when he was like 10 or something. I don't know. It was kind of a weird situation, actually. I was in Canada. That's where I was born and raised, and kind of just ran into the right people at the right time. So it was a bit of a fluke thing, but kind of discovered that I liked it and kept at it and did everything that I could to be a part of it, and then ended up where I am now, which is kind of crazy. But But I just worked really hard and met the right people. So I don't know. I think every actor's story is different too, which is so hard. You know, some people get noticed on the street. And
do you create your own stuff? Or do you write stuff? Or do you?
Yeah, no, write. I write a lot. Yeah. All my every character I play, I write.
See, one of the things I've been hearing a lot of from people that are come up here is that they create their own opportunities. They write stuff themselves, or they forget to develop relationships.
Especially
with people,
if you're into being a director. I mean, finding the right material and shopping it around and getting it to the right people and just sticking to it, I guess.
This now is Michelle, 28. Michelle, what's happening? You're on with Alicia Cuthbert.
Hi. I wanted to ask you, I drank a bunch of pineapple juice one day, and the next day my urine smelled like pineapple.
No way.
And my whole vaginal area smelled like pineapple.
Vaginal?
Yes, the whole area smelled like pineapple. And I was wondering if there is something that you can eat or drink that would make you smell sweet or taste sweet down there.
Seems
like you figured it out.
Well, I don't think that really works like that. I really don't. There are things, strangely enough, there are things you can eat and, that make you smell worse.
Like
there's garlic and asparagus and garlic and stuff. But there really doesn't seem to be things that make you smell better. And things that come out of your body come out as they come out. And people have very grave, weird misconceptions about...
Men, too, especially.
Tell me.
Well, they think if they eat certain things...
The junk ain't going to smell. You pointed. I just say.
No, but I mean, like, or they think it's going to, I don't know, who knows? I've heard some crazy things.
Well, the pineapple juice thing, I see what you're talking about.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know what you're saying. And that's sort of where Michelle was going, too, is that the things that come out of your...
But that's not true.
No, it really isn't true.
I ate ice cream today, so get ready.
Here's the deal, Michelle. Do you think
it's not going to taste like ice cream.
It's not going to taste like ice cream. These are fluids manufactured in body organs that are designed to kind of come out, and whether you ate strawberries and marshmallows all day doesn't affect the production of those fluids. Nor, like, for instance, is it going to make your poo come out as a soft swirl? No, it's going to be, you can eat marshmallows and strawberries all day long.
But you can go and purchase things that you can, I don't know.
Go down that path, Alicia. Go ahead.
You can go to the Hustler store.
Those are enemas. Those things go in. They go on the other side.
Right.
Right. But be that as it may, the fact is that they're really, really, I mean, people are going to call with all these testimonials. But I really don't think it stands up to scrutiny. If somebody did an actual objective test, this, which actually we did once in this show years and years and years ago, and people could not tell the difference.
They couldn't.
No. They couldn't tell who had eaten marshmallows, who'd eaten pineapple juice.
Because I also heard that guys that eat a lot of pasta, their ejaculation is sweet.
Who's telling you this stuff?
I read it in books and hear it from different people and
guys.
If somebody could explain to me the mechanism whereby that was possible, how it is by taking complex carbohydrates that somehow is going to cause something in the production of seminal fluid, which is, by the way, mucopolysaccharides. No way. Not going to happen. Thank you. This is actually, let's take a break. I've had enough of our calls for a few minutes, haven't you?
Yeah.
Had an ass full of this. I really have. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. We got molested on New Year's Eve, attracted to kids, some heavy calls. We got to get some more sort of upbeat Alicia Cuthbert calls. Don't you think? Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll be right back.
Loveline.
Loveline, we'll be right back.
Here we go. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Alicia Cuthbert in the house tonight. You seem a little more liberated this time.
Yeah. I'm easing into this.
You're feeling it.
I'm feeling it. I'm dancing a little bit.
All right. A lot of calls coming in for you. This is Greg, 28. Greg?
Hey, what's up?
Hi, Alicia. Greg.
So, you know that movie you played when you were the gambling addict in that Lucky Girl movie?
Yes, sir.
I'm kind of a gambling addict myself.
Uh-oh.
Good times.
Uh-oh.
I think I'm too old. I mean, you were like a high school kid, but I'm getting kind of old, and I can't seem to drop it.
What are you, alcoholic also?
I don't consider myself one.
But
that's
might
the
I?
First step.
Might I consider you one?
What's the definition?
I just, again, this
Do you drink when you wake up?
No, no. Do you have alcoholism in your family?
No, I don't.
What's your ethnic background? Your ancestors, where are they from?
American, I guess, as far back as I know. My grandpa's Swedish.
Swedish. And no alcoholism in your family, huh?
Are you doing pools or are you doing slots? Are you playing poker? What do you...
I used to, like, run a little, like, bookie thing in college when I was in school, but that's kind of faded because my friends don't want to play anymore, but...
Well, that's not just gambling. Like, now you're a criminal. You're not just a gambling addict.
Well, I wouldn't say I was, you know, run a whole racket, but...
Just saying, you're breaking the law. You weren't just into gambling. You're doing criminal activity. It's a little different.
Are you going to turn me in?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I can see what you're doing right now.
Ooh, sassy.
Looking right into your household.
Now I pretty much play online poker, and that's too easy to do, and my credit card keeps getting rung up. And
I know, it's not a good thing. It's really, it's a dangerous spiral that, I mean, you saw the movie. I mean, I ended up doing some crazy things at the end of it, but, you know, it's dangerous. Gambling is very, very dangerous.
Is it like an addictive trait in my mentality, or what's the deal?
Yes, Greg. You're not giving us much, but yes, go to Gamblers Anonymous. That is how to treat that. People tend to sort of use gambling and other behavioral compulsions as a way of kind of dissociating themselves from any affect and getting thrill, just like you would with a drug or an alcohol. And Greg, listen to me. You do illegal activities, and that puts a slightly different spin on what's going on with you. Roz 21. So we can get scabies from animals?
Yes, it's mange.
Mange. It's the same thing.
The animal form of scabies.
Yeah. Yeah, but mange.
Yeah, it's gross. Yeah, I had to work with it a lot. So,
but isn't mange on animals?
Yeah.
Yeah. So and then, it's scabies on humans. It's the same mite.
Same organism.
They kind of like jump on. It's like a lot of parasites and lice you can get from animals.
Veterinary institutions tend to get it on the linens and things there? Can you get it that way as well?
Yeah, and there's a lot of things like transferable animal to animal, but that's like the main one that you have to look out for if you're working with animals, like a lot of scabies. I think like almost everyone in my clinic in the L.A. area has gotten scabies at least once.
Interesting.
So
okay.
Maybe
well,
she got it from
me.
The cat.
I'm used to seeing the people get it from, here's where I see people get it all the time.
Beds and things like
right.
that.
Right, right. That's what, and not even dirty. It's just where lots of people, so where you get is the bedspreads at hotels. That's where people lie down on the bedspread before they pull it down. Pow, there you go. Because those don't get washed as frequently as the sheets and things.
I didn't think it was
Russ,
mange.
Thank you. It's very. I didn't think so either.
It's mange, so it's a big one out there in the animal industry.
Very good.
Like chiggers.
Thank you.
Watch out for the chiggers.
Look up chiggers to find out what the hell those are. I think you were talking about ticks, I hope. It sounds disgusting. Hannah, 16.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
You're on with Alicia Cuthbert.
Mm-hmm. What are chiggers?
Yeah.
We're going to look it up online. We'll
find out specifically. You know what it is? I'll tell you the story. I was in Memphis, Tennessee. I was walking through a field. I had sandals on, like flip-flops, no socks. Dumb move, came back and was like, my ankles were itching me like crazy. And my friends were telling me that I had gotten chiggers, which is like this little mite or whatever the hell it is that crawls under your skin, forms like a little mosquito bump. And to get rid of it, you have to put like clear nail polish over it to suffocate it. And then it dies.
Oh,
the most,
that sounds
the
like
most itchy, uncomfortable. When you were describing it, I thought that was chiggers.
We're going to find out what chiggers are. I don't know what they are. So we're going to find that out. I thought I knew everything.
My question is, like, I was listening a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And a guy was, like, addicted with porn.
Yeah.
And so was my boyfriend.
Okay.
And I want to know why.
Why?
Like,
well,
because
it's hot.
Yeah.
Do you watch porn?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've watched porn,
so you like it. Some women get it, some women don't. Women are all over the place with it.
I'm not obsessed.
No, no, I'm just saying. When you look at women's brains responding to visual sexual images, the response patterns is a very diverse sort of spectrum. With men, it's pretty standard.
Okay.
And so some women do respond to it and get sort of a drive response to it, and some women it gets like nothing.
Yeah, I would say I'm on the responding.
You're
side.
More and the more, yeah. Yeah. Right. And is it girl-on-girl stuff? Or
easy.
So, Hannah, what do you mean he's addicted? What is it he's doing?
Like, instead of going out with me, he would rather watch porn. And it's kind of getting annoying.
That's sort of sad. Is it getting interfering with other aspects of his life?
Yeah, he'd rather stay at home than go out with his friends.
And watch porn. So all he's doing all the time is watching pornography?
Or playing a computer game or something like that.
Yeah.
Sounds very interesting.
Why are you with this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm kind of thinking that now. I loved him. I still do. But it's been 2 months. I'm not really wanting to put up with it anymore.
It sounds like Hannah. It's to call a 16-year-old porn addict. It's hard to do that. What we can say about this guy is he seems to be sort of socially inept, and maybe isn't sort of picking up on proper cues. I don't know what's going on with him. The fact that he's sort of isolating the way he does, spending time sort of lost in that whole cyber world. The porn addiction is usually people that use pornography. They usually have a history of sexual abuse. The pornography gets more and more intense, and eventually they get off into prostitution and things like that very often. Mm-hmm. But they're very ashamed of what they do. They're doing it throughout the day. And it's hard to get it from what Hannah's telling us from the history necessarily. This is Matt, 24, Alicia Cuthbert. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, Dr. Drew, thanks for taking my call. Hey, Alicia,
sure.
you're amazing. I really enjoy your work. And
thanks.
I've seen just about everything you've been in, I think.
Oh, thank you.
Really, really enjoy it a lot. Hey, you're one of my favorite young actresses, and 24 is my favorite show. Any chance of a cameo this season, next season?
I'm in it. Yeah, I'm proud to say that I'm in.
Matt wants to do a cameo, I think.
Oh, you? I thought you meant Mike.
I was asking about her, but I'd love to do a cameo too. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
she's doing more than a cameo. She's a prime player in this upcoming season.
Well, kind of. I mean, I guess you could say that. I'm coming back. I can't really say why or how, but
because the safety of the nation really rests on the information.
And then
she
got Jack Bauer on my ass, and we're just in big trouble. But it's good. I'm excited to be back this year, and I know that I'd been gone for a season. So, but yeah, I'll be back.
That's great news. I'm really excited to hear it, and can't wait to see you on her.
Thank you so much.
This now is Mallory 20. Mallory.
Hi. How are you?
We're good. What's happening?
Well, my boyfriend and I, past couple times that we've had sex, he's not circumcised for one.
Okay.
But for some reason, when we have sex, he gets this pain and he pulls out and he's bleeding.
Is the foreskin like tearing?
Yeah, like it's tearing, it's ripping.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that happens with uncircumcision. And it's one of the reasons to get circumcised. And what can happen sometimes is when there's tearing like that, we talked a little bit earlier about scarring and stenosis. It can start to stenose down further. And then when he tries to bring the head out again, it tears more and keeps stenosing and tearing. It can be quite a pain. So,
is that common?
It's pretty common. And so what people say, there's absolutely no reason for circumcision. Yeah, there kind of is. I mean, why go through all that? And by the way, we're just a piece of skin here, for Christ's sake.
People get checked for it, and he can tell me, I'm just going to let it heal, but it happened again, and it's happening again.
He may not, of course, be letting enough time go on between these experiences you guys are having, but I would look into it, because it may be time to get a circumcision. Okay?
Yowch. Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah. All right, Mallory. Thanks a lot. Let's talk to James, 22. James?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
We're good. Alicia Cuthbert.
Dr. Drew, just give you props for all the good work you do.
Thank you, buddy.
I have a sort of question for our lovely guest, Alicia.
Hang on one second. Chiggers?
No, not Chiggers.
Don't know. Hold on.
It's actually... Yes.
I'll go read it. Okay.
What's that? Next? Sorry? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's a Kiefer Sutherland question, actually. I listened to this other radio show, and is it true that he actually got liquored up and took out a Christmas tree in the hotel?
Yeah, it is true.
Took out a Christmas tree?
Yeah. Wow, yeah. News travels fast, let me tell you.
What happened?
He was on tour with this group that he's starting.
What kind of group?
It's like a rock and roll group.
Oh, music. Is it about everybody that's successful in a field, they desire to be successful in something else?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Everyone's got to be a musician.
Well,
Russell Crowe's got to be a...
I don't know. Right. He's into music. Always has been. He's got a great guitar collection. But, now he's managing this group, and they were on tour during the hiatus of the Christmas break of filming 24, and they took off, and they went to Iceland and London, and in London, they got really wasted. And he did a mad dash for like an 18-foot tree in the middle of a hotel lobby.
Try to run up it or something, like a cat?
You know, some of the things that he does are unexplainable, and I can't figure them out.
Genius is what he
does. I don't try and figure it out. I just let him be, and he took it out. He looked.
He just tackled it. And just
he tackled it, and the whole thing came down. Ornaments and
so
all.
So at the Dorchester Hotel, the
I think so. No, I don't know. The Landmark or something. I don't know. Yeah, it's true though.
See, the funny thing about that story is that the lady at the lobby also said that he had to pay for it before he did it. So I hope he paid for it.
That I don't know. I'll ask him. I'm sure he did though. I'm sure.
Yeah,
or maybe not.
Apparently, the rumor was he just didn't like the Christmas tree. Like said flat out, I like this Christmas tree. I'm taking it out.
Mm. That sounds like a good drunk guy maneuver. Yeah, lots of drunk guys. Hey, I don't like that. I'm gonna pull it off the wall. What are you looking at me? And just take it out. Yeah, it's good. A lot of drunk.
Yeah, I'm sure that was him.
I deal with a lot of people that are intoxicated, and that's a good move.
All right,
James, thanks for your call.
Christmas tree.
All right, I'm gonna take a break a little bit early here because I want to look up chiggers and we're gonna look up scabies.
What have you found?
You and I are gonna go over there to the web and check out this lengthy list of things.
I see a weird picture of a weird creature.
Yeah, that's what was in your feed.
Oh, let's not go there.
But apparently, a chigger refers to a whole array of different animals.
Oh,
so we'll find out what they were.
Okay.
The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We are blessed with Alicia Cuthbert tonight, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Loveline will be right back. So get your problems ready. Ready.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm laughing because I see up here one of the calls is an entomologist who wants to tell us about chiggers. Should we get the real deal?
Yeah.
We just looked it up online, and Trumbicula. Is that right, Christine? Trumbicula is the chigger?
Edgar.
Yeah, basically. It's an acari, so still with the mites.
Yes, it's a mite, right? Keep going.
Yeah, so same thing as scabies. The larva they live in tall grass and hot
That's
areas.
That's right. Like That's where I came in contact.
And it said there were mite islands. At some places, there are little infestations of them. In other fields, it's wide open.
You can walk through some grass, and there will be a whole community of them, and some grass there won't be. And you can't see them. They just kind of attach to your skin. And
so I've had scabies, technically.
Are they only in the Southeast? Yeah. You've had mites.
Mites.
Are they only in the Southeast?
Basically, because you don't find them on the West or anything like that. Because I actually worked in Texas for a while, and
I got them constantly.
I've never ever had them working in the field in the West Coast.
It's weird. So. I did all my medical training in the West. I've never ever had a single discussion about chiggers.
We've got a sweet deal here. there isn't any.
No.
Well, let's talk about mange. We looked that up too, and there's several different kinds of mange. It looked like.
Yeah, I think mange is more. I wasn't sure about the tick thing being. Equal to mange because I always learned that mange was more like a cell just kind of sloughing off. So
yeah,
I don't really know anything about that. I just know the insect part.
There is a mite that is scabies that causes mange. So I'm imagining it's identified as scabies on the web. I imagine human scabies is the same bug. I'm guessing. So there you go.
So
mange looks different.
Actually, to clear up something else about the nail polish, that doesn't take care of it at all. That's why you're still itching and having red bumps. That's actually a misnomer because the mite has already left your body at that point and become a free living adult. So the best thing you can do is prevent it by wearing DEET or like rolling up your socks, tuck in your shirt. That's about
it. So once you've got it, you can't get rid of it?
Well, it goes away after about 3 days, but you itch like hell, so it's not fun. You definitely want.
Can you use any?
I don't have them now, but I mean, when I had it and when it occurred, I was told to put nail polish on the spots, which would stop the itching, which did, and then I didn't have a problem.
Can you use the pyrimethrin or any of the anti mite sort of creams?
Pyrethrins don't really deter them.
Wow.
They're intense.
That detours it. So, or you can use like a sulfur product, which, totally stinks. So I'd go for the DEET.
And also cures acne. No, I'm kidding.
Fascinating. Thank you, Christine. This now is Delissa, 28.
Hi.
Hey there. What's happening? You're on with Alicia Cuthbert.
We're
covering, by the way, very, very rangy show tonight.
Very
rangy. We've gone from lesbian porn to chiggers to
crazy
to Kiefer Sutherland and Poutine and what's going on here? What's up, Delisa?
I don't have chiggers.
Thank you. That's good.
Well, I have a question. I've been dating this guy for about 2 years, and we are getting married. And
congratulations.
Thank you. A large amount of pre-cum, he'll be, the top of his penis will be wet all the time.
Mm-hmm. And,
yes.
Yes. And, so,
and stop listening to the radio. We turn the damn radio off, please.
Okay.
Okay.
Radio's off.
Thank you.
And, so I was wondering if this is normal because I never experienced this.
It's normal. Yes. Some guys have very leaky gaskets and some are, do not.
Gaskets. I like
that. And it's, you know, it's a liability for pregnancy if you're trying to avoid that, but that's about all it means.
Well, and so runny cum can be normal, too.
What?
Runny?
That's what we tease him about, having runny cum.
We tease him about?
Well, I do, yes.
Are you sitting around a bunch of friends right now?
No, no.
Okay, but I was going to say, this guy must be delighted by all this. Oh, Mr. Runnycum, that's you. yes, it's, you know, guys have different consistencies and sort of frequency of ejaculation can determine that to some extent, but it has really no implications. Like, where she's going to go next is, does that mean he can't have kids and blah, blah. No, doesn't mean anything like that.
Got it.
So this is Eileen 20.
Runnycum is okay.
Runnycum is good. Eileen. Hey, what's going on? You're on with Leisha Cuthbert.
I'm like, Runny Cum.
So I'm like, oh, hi.
Sorry.
How are you both doing?
Good. Thank you for turning your radio off.
Thank you.
What's
happening? You're welcome. Okay, so Dr. Drew, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Myself and a coworker, we started hanging out outside of work and then started having sex, but I said, I don't want anything serious. Just like a casual thing, and he said, yeah, I agree.
After doing a touchdown dance, he said yes. Okay.
What?
I'm just saying, after he did a touchdown dance, then he said, oh, okay.
Good times.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah. Yeah, I just got out of this really long relationship, and I said, I'm not looking for anything serious. I just want to have some fun. And he said, okay, I'm up for that.
All right.
And so now he's starting to act weird. And
He's getting attached.
I think so.
Yeah.
Fighting with me under the covers and you know, cuddling with me. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what this means. And then he started, you know, he kind of started being nasty to me over the phone. And
yeah, Eileen, listen, friends with benefits hurts somebody eventually. Yeah. That's been my experience with it. That as I was giving a college presentation, University of Maryland, and I was saying, you know, this whole friends with benefit thing looks great on paper. You know, we love each other. We're good friends. We're just having
but
a good time.
Someone always falls.
And as one of the kids pointed out to me, he goes, yeah, it looks good on paper. Communism looks good on paper, too. It just doesn't work. And so as with communism, so goes friends with benefits. It's right. Not a good idea. I've never seen it work long term for anybody. It can work for a while, but inevitably we're human beings. We get attached, and that's just the way it goes.
So how do I resolve it? I mean, I still want to be friends.
Cut him off.
Yeah, I think cut him off is probably the healthiest thing for both of you. If you're
really not into it and you don't see yourself getting into it, I'd say see you later.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I like him and everything, but
then set some real boundaries and ground rules with him. Be very clear with him. And when he starts freaking out and getting in too far, be honest with him. Be like, look, you're I'm seeing you get attacked. It's not where I'm going with this. I just can't. And it must be very painful for you, and I'm sorry. But, you know, we agreed what we were doing here, and if you can't handle that, we got to end this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to, but we got to. Really, you have no other option, really. Hi, who's this now? It says angry lesbian on the I'd rather not refer to you that way if I could help it. What's your name?
My name's Holly. That was a
Holly.
Idea.
Okay, what's going on? Holly, what's up?
Good evening. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Cool, what's happening?
Well, Drew, I have a bone to pick with you.
Okay, let's go.
It seems to me that every time I pop in and listen and a lesbian calls, you always ask, oh, were you abused?
Every time. Well,
do you ask that?
I don't necessarily ask to just...
Was there some sort of abuse or... You know what I mean? I just feel it's irresponsible because it just, you know, it leads people to believe that it's some sort of pathology, you know, neuropsychological...
Well, let's put it this way. For gay males that call this show, I'd say 80% of them have a sexual trauma history. 80% of the males. And for that other 20%, that other 20% is clearly just born genetically. That's where they're at. But for the callers in this show, the vast majority have sexual trauma. Now, radio shows tend to attract people with more trauma histories. There's no doubt about
right.
that.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Now,
okay.
And then wait. So now the females that we talk to are lesbians in that call this show are not as likely to have sexual trauma, but are likely to have been brutalized by men. That tends to be the history in our population that we commonly see. So I will start. I may start with some questioning about trauma, depending on, you know, I'll tell you where I go in the trauma pathway is if they're lesbian, but they're also having sex with guys. Then I go, now, wait a minute. That's confusion. That's chaos. That suggests sexual trauma to me. And that's where I find it. I ask the question merely because it's always there. That's all.
All right. I just, you know, I mean, it's just this population is filled with a lot of people that hate. And I just, you know.
You know what? Let's talk about that's a more worthwhile discussion. Let's talk about that. Now, do you have to?
I just feel that, yeah. But if you, you
hang
know,
on, hang on.
Every
Holly.
Time you ask, yes.
Holly, do you have to deal with the hatred and stuff? Is that something in your life that you actually, people actually do that to you?
Personally? Well, yeah. A little. Well, yeah, I do. I mean,
really?
Just because I'm obvious. I look gay, you know what I
and
mean?
So
my
people
doesn't, so she doesn't have to deal with it as much, but you know,
how do you deal with
it? I live in Orange County.
Oh, nice. Can get out of there. But what do you deal with? What do you experience? What happens?
Well, a lot of times, like stares, like blatant, like I've been sitting in a restaurant and like a whole family will be just turned around, like staring rudely, you know what I'm saying?
Do you have a bunch of piercings or anything?
No, nothing else.
Though.
Got any ink?
Kind of, what's that?
Got any ink? Like, a little bit.
But no, not overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think, I'm very androgynous.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, so that's obvious. But also, I think, because usually when girls look like boys as much as I do, they kind of look like an ugly guy. You know what I mean? So I'm kind of cute. Like, I look like a cute guy. So I think
we got that going for you.
Are you sure? I mean, maybe they're sort of going, you think that's a guy or girl over there? What do you guys think? And they'll tell me.
Yeah, I have been, a couple times it's been a little scary, like the guys yelling and thinking I'm going to be beat up. Like, oh, God, I'm going to get
So the hatred you get is more towards a gay male than a gay female.
Yeah, I think I intimidate guys because they kind of look at me like, well, wait a minute. You know what I mean? And I always date really pretty girls.
So well, that would intimidate guys.
That puts you at odds. You know what I mean?
Sure,
guys
sure.
Dig it as long as they can fantasize that it's going to involve
be
them.
Somehow. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But when they realize, oh, wait, I'm really not involved here, and then, hey, you're taking something I might be interested in.
Right.
Kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Holly, we got to go to break, but here's the deal. I'm not interested in judging people or hating people. I'm just interested in humans and what makes them tick. And
no,
you're welcome.
Hang on.
Listen. I got to go to break, but you're welcome to call anytime, okay?
All right.
Seriously.
Maybe I'll put in to be a host.
That'd be excellent. Excellent. You're exactly who I'm looking for. I'm really seriously.
The
I'm looking
angry
for,
lesbian.
Well, I don't think she's not
no,
angry.
No, I'm kidding.
She's a.
They put that in there.
Yeah. So, okay, Alicia Cuthbert in here. Dr. Drew, we're going to take a little break and be right back.
If you need help,
call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Well, that about does it for Loveline. Alicia, really, truly a pleasure. Thank you for...
I love doing this show.
Well, I hope you will come back soon. Honestly, you're
it's
one of my favorite guests.
It's fun and smart. It's like 24.
You fit right... I like me.
Yeah.
I want that sound to follow you around wherever you go. Don't you want
it
that?
It does. Just, look, it's here.
I'd like to make a deposit, please. All right, so tomorrow night, Jenna Fisher from The Office in here, also a dear friend of the show. Night after that, She Wants Revenge. Then following Joe Rogan, DJ AM, and back to Danny Bonaducci being here for a couple nights. So again, Alicia, thank you very much.
Thank you
and
so
we'll
much.
We'll see you soon, I hope. This is Dr. Drew. Till tomorrow night, saying good night and stay well.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.